Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich. The month is slipping away, and probably only a few of us even realize that September holds the distinction of being Coastal Awareness Month to showcase the importance of the Great Lakes coasts to Wisconsin's history, economy, and environment. Todd Bribee is keenly aware of all of those things. He works with the Wisconsin Coastal Management Program. The agency recently awarded Reef Point and Racine and Milwaukee Yacht Club certified Wisconsin Clean Marina status. The two bring Wisconsin's count to 20 marinas that have gone above and beyond required and recommended environmental best practices. WUWM environmental reporter Susan Bentz headed to the Milwaukee Yacht Club celebration, where she talked with marina manager Dan Couliard and Coastal Management's Todd Bribee. Bribee says his agency set up shop in 1978.
So 35 years, working with a variety of partners, including Wisconsin Marine Association, UW Sea Grant, Department of Natural Resources, and many other partners to develop the Wisconsin Clean Marina Program. And that has been ongoing since 2008, and our first Clean Marina was certified in 2010.
So what were some of the first programs back in the 70s that were taken on?
What the Wisconsin Coastal Management Program does is we're a state-federal partnership between the state of Wisconsin and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. And the work that we are involved with is everything from promoting and enhancing public access to Lake Michigan and Lake Superior and the coastal resources. We work with habitat. We work on water quality issues, sustainable economic development issues. And primarily those are much of what we've been doing for the past 35 years.
How do you decide from year to year where to put your primary focus?
One of the programs that we do, I think, is most seen by most people is we have a grant program where we pass through about $1.5 million on an annual basis to local governments, nonprofits, and universities for a variety of work. And we have a guiding council, a 14-member governor-appointed council that also sets policy direction with our program, and that sets the stage for the technical assistance and our grant program of the dollars that we pass through.
So, Dan, what does it take to become a clean marina?
It's been a gradual thing. I mean, I've been at the Yacht Club for almost 30 years, and it's been a step-by-step thing. Everything from the bottom paint on boats has gotten much less toxic. Rules and regulations have been put into place for safety and for water quality. Every year the standards get a little more rigid, which is great. And we're, as long as we're moving in the right direction, we're eons ahead of where we were 30 years ago.
So give an example of a tangible difference from when you started to now. Common practice or the way the place looks?
Well, again, logistics. Boats need fuel. So basically there's a filling station right along the water where it's a very sensitive environment, and 30, 40 years ago, people would fill their boats and literally dump the excess gas in the lake. Boats that are manufactured now capture and reuse fuel so it doesn't go into the lake. The nozzles are different. There's all kinds of little things that are put into place to make it a perfectly clean. And even if you have a mistake and you accidentally put some in, we have contingency plans to remediate it right away.
So what can you do in that case?
We have special products that will absorb the gasoline right out of the water so it can be disposed of properly even if you do make a mistake like that. There's a lot of preventative and informational things for the boaters to learn, not only to learn how to operate a boat, but how to operate it in a clean and efficient manner.
In your own case, in your own awareness, have you always been mindful of what can we do in our lake surroundings to make a difference?
Oh, absolutely. I think
be honest.
Absolutely. I'll answer that. You know, everybody, I think even the people that don't really deep down feel bad when they do something like pollute in any size, shape, or form, because when you sit down and think about it, you know, it's your environment. You're drinking the very water that you're polluting, literally. You know, a mile offshore is where the intakes are. So come on, you know, use your common sense. But everybody's really been good and moving in the right direction. And I again, just think that everywhere in the country they should be as good as we are here.
So got a paved parking lot to our north. Will that change over time?
No, there's a huge plan going on right now, and it'll go into effect next year or the year after the finalizations. There's three plans drawn up right now to take that asphalt parking lot completely out of there and put different types of bedrock and pavers and pebble and drain tiles so that even the cars that park in the marina, if they drip gas or oil, it'll all go into filtration systems and the pipes and then be properly treated. Nothing will run off this parking lot and go into the lake. And they're going to put foliage and all kinds of extra islands where grass and green. And I do know a lot of the marina managers that are from smaller places up north that maybe don't have the resources to do what we do, but they're all trying very hard, and it doesn't take a lot to do the basic stuff. You can do 80% of perfect for not a lot of money. It's the last 20% that costs a lot, and that's what we're trying to strive to be 100% an example here for everybody.
So once the system is in place, is it a costly annual system to maintain?
Not at all. It's self-proliferating. The better you do, once the big cost, of course, is like the parking lot and things like that, but once that's in place, it's just following the guidelines and the rules and the recycling and the watching what you're doing. Very little outlay once it's all in place. And, setting up the clean marina programs is wonderful, because once you've got the infrastructure in place and all the members that come down there get a paper and says, I don't know this, but hey, this is what I should be doing for this and this and this and this and this, then it's on an individual basis. We can't be the policeman for everybody, but like I say, people in general deep down want to keep the place beautiful, and I think that's what we're going towards.
Can you give a little history of the yacht club here? It's an old, old club.
Oh, God, yeah. We've been here, not me, but we've been here. 1871 was when we were founded, and we were the first major club on the lake, Great Lakes. And we leased this entire area from the county for $1 a year for 100 years. And the reason they gave us such a fantastic arrangement was because we were to promote boating, and manage this lakefront. And it needed a structure and a club. When Milwaukee was first growing, there was no real municipal marina. It was the yacht club. And the marina grew from that. Again, it was...
So you were the initial stewards?
Yeah, if you want to say that. And you know what? Yacht club, I mean, back in the day, you had to be of some means to have a yacht. And those were the people that started this and had this club and, promoted it to everyone else to get into boating, which is beautiful. I mean, Milwaukee has one of the best lakefronts in the country. It really does.
So the two of you were you were discussing something with seemingly a lot of passion when I arrived. Were you singing the praises of your marina?
You know what? We were having kind of a deep conversation about civilization and the right thing to do in society, and a microcosm of that is the water and the lakefront, and it's part of our survival is reliant on the fresh water system, and that's what we are stewards of here. And sailboaters, we were talking about the groups, there's splinter groups among the users in the boating community, and sailboaters always had a dislike for the power boaters and vice versa for various reasons, but especially because of the pollution factor. The sailboaters didn't like the fact that, and they were literally called stink pots, anything with a motor, you shouldn't have that on the water. And but that's changed now. The club was even polarized for years up until the early 1960s. The bar had a sailing section and a powerboat section, and you did not cross that line. There was people thrown in the lake that crossed that line. So,
isn't that interesting?
But now we're all one big happy family and really working towards one common goal, which is to keep everything clean and beautiful. So.
And follow up on what Dan said, I think the Wisconsin Clean Marine Program is a nice example of how multiple stakeholders can work together. You have the marine industry, you have marinas, you have local, state, and federal agencies working together to develop a program that's voluntary. It's for those marinas and those boaters that want to go above and beyond what's necessary. And so it's been a valuable program. It's built a strong stakeholder group, a strong partnership. And I think looking at the success of the Wisconsin Clean Marina Program, looking at what Dan has been doing here for years at the Milwaukee Yacht Club, it's been great.
I think it's all about setting examples. It's, everything, when you raise your kids, you set an example. When you're amongst your peers, you try to set an example. And that's what, we try to do here. And moving in a positive direction is if everybody does that and tries their best, it'll be a beautiful place.
Todd Bribey works with the Wisconsin Coastal Management Program. Dan Couillard manages Milwaukee Yacht Club's marina. They spoke with WUWM's Susan Bentz. The facility just attained certified status as a Clean Wisconsin Marina. Some restaurants in other parts of the country are going tip-free. Is that a good idea, and would it work in Milwaukee? Our dine-in contributor shares her thoughts when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.